This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by the Becker's Healthcare Editor-in-Chief on the CIO and Health IT side, Laura Durda. Laura's been with us for a long time and a really brilliant journalist and a terrific person. Laura, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Scott, for having me on the podcast. As you mentioned, my name is Laura Durda, and I'm just had a great time overseeing the health IT line at Becker's. I've had the opportunity to speak with CIOs and other IT leaders for hospital and health systems across the country, and it's just been an amazing opportunity to learn about what they're really thinking about and struggling with today.
Thank you very much. And then, Laura, tell us about, you talked to a lot of great CIOs, a lot of people throughout the health IT area, health information technology area. What are a couple of the big trends that you see that you hear about?
There are several big trends in health IT today that really are a main focus for the top executives at hospitals and health systems. The first one being data management, storage, and security. This might seem a bit mundane, but it really has huge practical, ethical, and financial consequences if it's not done appropriately. Hospitals and health systems have billions of lines of data on their patients, which is valuable information to develop better patient care and patient experiences. Some health systems are looking for partners in big technology companies, including Google and others, to help them innovate in that area. These health systems and big tech companies have admirable goals of making sure data across disparate platforms and locations can basically become interoperable, which will advance precision medicine, predictive analytics, and other applications. But the public scrutiny on how big tech companies across the board use data is at its peak right now. And after the Wall Street Journal published an article last year shining the light on the partnership between Ascension and Google, that scrutiny really came to the healthcare space as well. These partnerships are raising questions on whether patient data is being used appropriately by these big technology companies. Some health systems are getting around that by avoiding, these partnerships and building their own teams of computer scientists, the philosophy behind that being their team might not have as many computer scientists and data scientists as Google, but their health system doesn't necessarily need to do the same things that Google does. The second really big shift that we are seeing here is over the past decade, health systems have really, open their pockets to implement new and expensive EHR systems and upgrades, as well as invested in cybersecurity and data management platforms. So, now as a CIO looks to go beyond just the implementation phases of those technologies, they're really finding ways to incorporate technology into population health initiatives, patient experience, and automating workflows. In the value-based healthcare environment that we have today, everyone's really looking to take costs out of the healthcare systems. So CIOs are needing to negotiate, these investments of new technologies with the CEOs, CFOs, and other C-level executives. And they're really needing to prove that spending money on technology on the front end is going to generate savings on the back end or take costs out of another aspect of the health system's budget, although it might not necessarily be IT. So lastly, looking on the technology side, artificial intelligence and machine learning have been applied to automate workflows at hospitals and health systems to great effect. I know that's something that a lot of people are looking at and really wondering what kind of difference that's going to make on the operational side. It has the potential to generate huge efficiencies, and it's already doing so at places like New York Presbyterian, where they're using technologies to automate even the tasks of bringing meals from the cafeteria to the patient's rooms. But on the flip side, it could cost some jobs, and not everyone would be able to retain new roles with the organization, especially if that's looking at a technology-focused side. And then for artificial intelligence and the clinical technologies, that's still really emerging field, but it's something where, the individuals that we speak to really see that as, at this point, enhancing their abilities to practice medicine and not as much replacing the doctor.
Well, fantastic. Thank you. So a lot around data management, a lot around cybersecurity, a lot around predictive analytics, and more on the operational side. 10 years ago, all the spend, the last 5 to 15 years was around EMRs, EHRs, and so forth. And now the shift is spent into a lot of operational things and also huge spend on cybersecurity and data management as well as predictive analytics. Talk a little bit about the EHR environment. Obviously, after all the hand-wringing and so forth, EHR, electronic medical records, are here to stay. At this point, we've grown to a spot where it's a platform. We couldn't live without it, even though you still see some hand-wringing on it. But what's going on with sort of the Cerners and Epics of the world? I know you still cover those a lot and write about those a lot. Just some insight there.
Yeah, absolutely. Both companies turned 40 last year, and they're still going strong. Epic really is reporting that it has 250 million people's data and medical records within their systems, and remains the EHR of choice for many of the large and top regarded hospitals and health systems in the nation. This past August, their CEO, Judy Faulkner, unveiled a new data research initiative titled the Cosmos Program that is designed to mine de-identified data in the partnership with 9 health systems as well as 31 other organizations. And that project really wants to research the effectiveness of treatments that are being given so that moving forward, you know, precision medicine is moving in that direction. And then traditionally, Epic has not been considered ideal for the smaller organizations and physician practices due to the complexity of its platform. But recently, the company has been making moves to develop a platform specifically for those smaller organizations and making headway into that market. And then finally, last year, at the end of the year, Epic announced that it was also initiating another expansion of its campus in Verona, which will add space for around 1,200 new employees. So it looks like there's definitely growth and development where Epic is concerned. And then on the flip side, as you mentioned, Cerner also is one of the largest EHR providers that we cover on a consistent basis here at Becker's. Their large contracts include one with the Department of Defense that has had some significant delays with rollouts, but the most recent rollout last year really was reported as being much smoother and more effective. So they're anticipating the additional ones in 2020 will be smooth as well. The company also has a strategy to transform its business strategy from really, being an EHR company to becoming more of a platform organization, as they describe it. Cerner has taken steps in that direction through its partnership with Amazon Web Services last year. It also obtained a patent for voice-assisted technology in that partnership to support clinical documentation. So we're seeing, a few glimpses into what that might mean in a real practical sense for Cerner to be looking for opportunities to become more of a platform versus just an EHR. However, not all of their forays into the other spaces have been successful. In 2018, the company partnered with Adventist Health in California to manage the system's revenue cycle, but the two terminated the contract last year and parted ways.
Well, fantastic. And what's happened at some point, it seems like as opposed to that Epic and Cerner would control and own everything. But what's really happened over the last several years is companies like, to name a few, like Allscripts, have ended up being huge and become a huge part of the EMR landscape. How did this happen that, Epic and Cerner were getting so big, Allscripts evolved as the biggest sort of EHR for outpatient procedures or outpatient practice? How did this happen that these other EHR companies, and they're not the only one, found a continued spot in the healthcare ecosystem? Any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And that's a great point, Scott, because as you mentioned, hospital health systems are not the only providers out there. There are, a huge market and field for the physician practices and smaller organizations, ASCs, and those types of facilities that need an EHR that's really designed for them. It's incredibly inefficient for them to try to incorporate really anything from the hospital into the smaller setting just because they have specific needs and specific ways that they need to be able to do things. So having platforms like the Allscripts, EHR, and others as well that are designed with these smaller institutions that are very focused, typically, you know, only a few specialties, really helps them be nimble and create a operating environment where they are able to continue to maximize their efficiencies.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very, very much. And so you look at a lot of different issues. You've talked about some of the big trends. You've talked about the Cerners and Epics. You ran a couple other lines at Becker's Healthcare on the editorial side for a long time, a magnificent leader and great journalist. What surprised you when you started to take over coverage of the health IT area? Anything that surprised you or was particularly interesting to you that you didn't expect?
Yeah. I think, you know, taking over the health IT area was really fantastic because there's so much energy and excitement around what's going on. I think looking at the possibilities and potential of what technology can bring to healthcare is, you know, there's a ton of energy around that, and it was really fun to see. I think one of the things that surprised me was understanding and learning how many risks there are and how truly, you know, big of a responsibility it is for CIOs to oversee so many different facets of the health systems organization. It is put to me recently that it's not just the technology side that they're overseeing, but so many other initiatives within the hospital and health system require an IT component that makes them really, really important, whether it's, you know, telehealth that perhaps the business side of the health system is overseeing, making sure that's all implemented, but obviously the technology side needs to be there as well, or something like a human resources platform or call centers are under, you know, have certain aspects underneath the CIO's purview. So there's just so many different projects that they're working on, you know, in trying to make sure that everything is here and really understanding the implications of the decisions they're making and how data is being used and supported, you know, really has an important impact on the organization. So I was surprised to realize what a big responsibility that is and how many different levels of concern these CIOs have.
Well, fantastic. Laura, it is great to visit with you today. You do just a remarkable job and have a remarkable team that works with you on the editorial side. We are so thrilled to have you as the editor-in-chief on the health IT side. And thank you for sharing some of your thoughts today. And we'll look forward to visiting with you lots of events this year. Thank you so much, Laura.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott.